Hello, folks. TF Joe and Mike here from the Geekcast Radio Network and Powers of Grayskull series. What you're about to hear is episode 56 of The Myths of Etheria. I just wanted to include this little note beforehand because in the Played Again Bow plot section of the episode, something happened. I don't know. I did the best I could on the editing. It's a lot worse than what you actually hear, but you're going to hear like a little background splice kind of noise, I guess. I did noise reduction. I did all that stuff. Actually, when I originally saw the file after it was recorded, the clicking and it wasn't mouse clicks. It was some audio feedback thing. I don't know. I removed as much of it as I could, but I still noticed that there was a little bit of some unknown noise that I've tried everything on it. So I just want to let everyone know, I do not think that is going to happen for the rest of the episode, but just in the beginning of Bo's farewell, in the plot section, you're going to hear a little bit of a background noise. Sorry about that. May the power protect you. This is not the Power Rangers show. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, keep on listening to Powers of Grayskull. Myths of Etheria. 56, up next.
Adora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Light Hope, Madame Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 56th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me once again for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Oh.
And are you ready, sir, for more Myths of Etheria?
Yup.
You sound excited as I am. In this episode of Myths of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 28, Bo's Farewell, episode 29, The Price of Freedom, and episode 30, Play It Again, Bo. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
I didn't believe it when Madam said she saw Bo and Twig at Village.
But there he is.
Bo was warned that Horde patrols are in the area. I guess I'll have to give him a little talking to.
Okay, now, let's try it together. Not bad, but let me show... Adora, what are you doing here?
I think the question is, what are you doing here?
I'm giving a music lesson.
Don't you realize that Horde patrols are everywhere? If they find you with the Twiggets...
They'd never recognize me.
Don't be so sure. After the way you fought at Bright Moon, you may be better known than you think.
All right, Spunky, I guess the lesson is over.
But you said you'd show me a magic trick when we finished.
So I did, but I'll do better than that. I'll show you some magic that isn't a trick. Now, watch closely. I'm going to break that glass without touching it.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Now watch the glass, Spunky. It really isn't a trick. You see, everything has a certain frequency that makes it vibrate. If it's loud enough and long enough, pop.
What's a frequency?
It's kind of technical, but it's what makes a sound higher or lower. Maybe we've got time for one more.
No! Fun's over. Now let's leave before... Uh-oh. Too late. A Horde you back at camp.
All right, starting off today is episode 28, Beau's Farewell, the episode that sounds too good to be true. Air date Tuesday, October 15th, 1985, written by Don Heckman. Beau is recognized while visiting a Twiggit village and has to take a holiday from the rebellion. But on the way, he finds Catra using Twiggit slaves and aiming an eclipse beam at Castle Brightmoon. We have Catra, and then we got She-Ra, Beau, Queen, Cowl, Swiftwind, and Spunky, a new Twiggit, and King Sprite. So, all right, what are your thoughts about Beau's banishment?
King Sprite and Queen Sprite. What the hell was the queen's name? Because it was a king and a queen. Yeah. I don't know. The name. So, in, you know, I've said this every episode, the last four and a half, however long we've been doing this, years. Normally, I don't pay attention to the writing as far as who the writer is half the time, like when I'm actually watching the cartoons, like when it comes up on the screen. Because of who writes the next episode we'll talk about, I actually had to go back and look at what Don Heckman has done, because I'm going to be comparing this writer and the writer of the next episode to each other. Mm-hmm. And Don Heckman has written stuff for the 78-79 Godzilla TV series, Jason of Star Command. He wrote three episodes of He-Man, No Job Too Small, Beauty and the Beast, and To Save the Creatures. So his writing, I know we both hate the Beauty and the Beast episode of He-Man, so it's not exactly reassuring. But for She-Ra, he's got this episode, and he's got eight others that are, I assume, coming up, because I don't remember we've covered any of these yet. He's also written for Bravestar, and he was a writer for two episodes on Dynasty, the TV series Dynasty. The only reason why I said I'm bringing him up is because the person that writes the next episode. People, I'm going to break everybody's brains in this podcast, including yours.
Probably not.
Yeah, no, I am. The overall, like, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought he was going to be banished for half the episode. I mean, he doesn't even really say goodbye. He just kind of goes off to some unknown Twiggit village or whatever. Because what I assumed when I watched the episode was that it was two different Twiggit villages. Like the one in Whispering Woods with the base camp and then this other one that he goes out to. So, but the way they make it seem like in the episode is that it's the same Twiggit village because it's the same Twiggits. But basically they try to paint Beau as being irresponsible because this is the female show, and don't get me wrong, girl power is fine, but not at the expense of the male characters, in my personal opinion. There should be equal footing for either. But then again, this was the 80s, and this was, you know, the opposite of He-Man and whatever. Honestly, this episode was not as bad. The plot was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea about, I guess it adds to the level of the need for the rebellion to be somewhat secretive, somewhat unseen, and mm-hmm. you know, the danger that they can have if they're outside of their area, or the danger they can bring to other people if they're drawing attention to them. So I think I like it from that standpoint. I too was expecting there to be more. I don't know.
I was expecting there to be more buffoonery with Beau, and the ironic thing is he's more intelligently written in this episode than in any other episode that we've covered so far.
Yeah, I expected there to be something more serious that he did to get him banished, or there to be like a warning or something, or I don't know. It just seemed like a weird setup to, like, I don't know, all of a sudden you're banished because you're.
And the other thing for this is we normally it's two places, you know, that they mention all of Etheria, but normally we only see the edge or the inside of the Whispering Woods or the Fright Zone. In this, we actually have somewhere outside of both of those places, but normally most of the plots to this point are either She-Ra has to sneak into the Fright Zone or Hordax attacking
the Whispering Woods.
And I mean, we've seen Castle Brightmoon several times, but this series, Etheria isn't like Eternia so far, at least as far back as I can remember, it isn't really like Eternia, where you're able to go, like, to the Evergreen Forest or to, you know, the Ice Mountains or whatever, because of the fact that the Horde runs the planet. And that's part of this point of this episode, is you have to be careful.
Right.
When you're just out in the rest of the planet, which we never really get to, you know what I mean? So I really, really dug this one. I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the thick of it as we make our way for the first time today into the Whispering Woods. So we are in the Whispering Woods, which means we will not be banished or sent to vacation or anything like that. So what kind of good things do you have to say about Farewell to Bo?
Normally both Bo and Cowl really piss me off, whether they're being stupid on their own or stupid together. But this one, I really dug the interactions between the two of them. The back and forth banter. I don't know what it was about it. It just kind of... Cowl's, when the writers write these two characters, as I said earlier, they either write Bo to be inept, or they write Cowl to be too mean. Like, Cowl said some pretty fucked up stuff in this show. I mean, he has. He's never really been the character to give Bo the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes I don't even understand why they are friends.
Yeah.
Because... It just doesn't seem like... I don't know, it just doesn't seem... Anyway, what I thought would have been really cool, and I don't think we'll ever see this, because it's a formulaic show, and it's, you know, 31 years old this year. Sorry. Math, yeah. Cowl flew off before She-Ra transformed. It'd be funny to see if the powers of Grayskull would work on Cowl and what he would transform into.
Some type of dragon. Cowl dragon.
I thought that would be hilarious. What about you?
I do like the reference to Bo being more well known since he's been involved with escapades with She-Ra. And, like, the Battle of Brightmoon and whatnot, like, that there's a reputation that some of the rebels that before maybe weren't known to the Horde are because they are hanging out with, you know, Adora or She-Ra or something more. So I kind of like that that was a thing. I like that the Twiggets get punished for helping the rebels in a way. You know,
helping the Horde.
No, for helping the rebels in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
That it gives the Horde even that much more of a presence, and the fact that they are controlling everything, and if you help... the opposing side, there's going to be repercussions to it. Funny line there, halfway through, I guess. That tree wasn't bothering you when I thought that was kind of funny. And I do like the fact that they do kind of bring it full circle. They tie something from the beginning into the end, but I will save some of that because it's a good moment as well as a terrible moment. So I'll save the other half of that for a second from now. But
this entire episode was a... When did you say this aired?
October
85. Yeah. Okay. Oh, October 15th, 85. Okay, so We are 5 years at this point in the span of the series airing. We are 5 years away from Captain Planet, and I'm like, this episode is so the underlying message of the episode is so a Captain Planet thing, where She-Ra keeps talking about saving the trees.
Yeah, for sure. But that's all I had for the good moments. So what about Fright Zone moments for you?
Where the hell is Hordak for this entire plot? Did Catra, did he approve her to do this? He's not even mentioned at all. It's like Catra's just going off on her own.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on there? Again, because I haven't actually been keeping number count, but I do write them down. Sword count, whatever the hell number it is, becomes a chain this time. And she's... God, this whole thing. Remember?
You know,
we should have a count of not just sword to whatever, but we should have a count for He-Man and She-Ra about how many times we just completely ignore physics and science and nature and everything.
Okay, so we have to do... before... I should have said this off here. We're going to take a break after we talk about Fright Zone moments, because I have a certain clip I want to put in here because of what the PSA is. But anyway, the... Oh, God. Remember in episode 52, folks, when we talked about Horde Prime takes a holiday and we talked about how far Swiftwind can fly and how Sword turns into Space Helmet? She's in space. She's trying to pull the moon. She has no fucking helmet. She should be fucking dead. The show should be over.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even, I don't even need to take it that far. I don't care if she's alive or she's not, just the fact that she's pulling the moon. Like, I get that you're the most powerful person on the planet, and you can probably do some Samson-like things with structures and buildings and trees and walls and things like that, but you can't pull the gal darn moon. And if you pulled the moon, the planet would be dead anyways. Like, you'd be messing all kinds of stuff up. Gravity, tides, there's a lot tied to the moon, so probably not the best idea to have your solution be moving a celestial object like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of like moving Cybertron to Earth. It's going to be the ultimate doom for us all.
Right. It's like moving the sun, so you can't get sun on the planet. Like, don't do that. So, yeah, I'm in agreement with that one. Spunky? Spunky? The names for these Twiggets get worse and worse.
Well, okay, so we got Sprague, we got Sprocker, we got Spurtina. Those are the three main ones.
Spurtina is bad enough.
Yeah, Spurtina is bad enough. It's kind of like a combination between Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and pick whatever third female artist you want to pick. Spunky's all right. He's a
I don't know about the name, but yeah. And then I know this is not new to this episode. It's been a present since episode one, but I don't know if I've commented on it yet. But Bo having a heart symbol is absolutely queer. And I'm not saying that as a slap to homosexuals. I'm just saying, like, him having a heart symbol is... force, I don't know, it's just off-putting. Like, there was no way he would have a heart symbol, except for that this is a girl series, so we don't want to put a heart symbol on the guy to, like, further emasculate him or something. I don't know. I'm probably pissing off.
All I can think of every time I say, and I don't really pay, I don't pay that much attention to what he's, you know, I know the character model, I've seen it a million times before, in plenty of places, but all I can think of is he's the human version of Tenderheart from the Care Bears.
Oh man, that's awesome. The harp, the full circle as far as from the beginning to the end is cool, but the harp being the solution is kind of lame.
Yeah.
And then I also had Sword to Chain pulling the moon, and yeah, it's, I hate when they do those things. I really do. But I mean, there were some other things. Like I said, I don't want to make it seem like it was all bad, but those are the main things that I had. Did you have any other Fright Zone moments you didn't get to talk about? All right, so PSA was all about science value, and you had the clip, so maybe we should just let the clip play speak for itself.
Yes, this is my good buddy, TV's Mr. Neal, because as soon as I saw the PSA, the first thing I thought of was something he did for This Week in Geek a few years ago. So listen to that, and we'll be back after this.
Science!
Surprise!
It's that musician. Get him! I wish he'd stop doing that. There he is. Come on!
Oh, it's just a little illusion trick. But they won't be fooled for long. Let's get to Whispering Woods.
All right, for the first time today, it's our opportunity to hand out hardware. Mike is quickly diminishing his supplies, but he may have something left. So any horde bats or protection swords for you, sir?
No horde bats this time around. I thought, like I said, everything was kind of cool and... It was a good episode overall for the most part. It wasn't the best episode. It was... Okay, so stuff happened, but stuff didn't really... I don't know. It just... No horde bats. What about you for horde bats? Anything?
I'm saving my horde bats and my protection swords because it was just another one of those episodes that it just felt like nothing great happened. I mean, nothing terrible happened outside of pulling the moon. But, yeah, nothing really stood out from one way to the other. I mean, borderline horde bat for She-Ra for trying to disrupt nature by pulling the moon. But I didn't give one to her, so I'm saving all of mine. Did you have anything? Except for a rating?
I wanted to give... again, break your brain time here, folks, especially with how the next review of the podcast is going to go for this episode. I'm going to give a protection sword to Bo because I really liked his friendship with the Twiggets. I liked how he was, you know, coming to their aid because it's not often... Like I said, we normally see Bo and Cowl, and they're always like this weird odd couple type thing. And I just really dug how Bo is with the Twiggets. I thought that was really cool. So I'll give him a protection sword.
All right. And how about an episode rating? How many crystal castles does this one get you?
3 out of 5. It's kind of middle ground. It's not bad. There's nothing in it that made me rage out or anything like that, but it's not stellar.
Yeah, the world will break because I'm going to give this one a 3 as well. So 3 crystal castles across the board for the first episode today. We'll have to see if that goes up or down as we travel to episode 29 next.
It's going to be a roller coaster, people.
A beautiful day on Eternia, Orko. And I'm sure glad you cleaned up your room so you could go for a spin with me.
Oh, yeah. My room.
You, did clean your room, didn't you?
Not exactly.
Orko?
Well, no. I forgot.
Then I'm sorry, Orko, but you have to go back.
Aw, Adam.
No arguing, Orko.
Adam! You must come to Grayskull immediately.
On my way, Sorceress.
Then suppose I promise to clean my room twice tomorrow.
Orko, the Sorceress has just called me. Get back to the palace and tell Man-at-Arms, will you?
Ah, goodness. Oh, sure, Adam. No problem. Skiddledy-doo, skiddledy-day. Off to the palace. I'm on my way.
I wonder what the Sorceress wants.
Thank you for coming so quickly, Adam.
From the sound of your voice, it must be pretty important.
It is. I am receiving signals of distress from She-Ra on Etheria.
My sister? What can I do?
She needs your help, Adam. You must go there as soon as possible.
I'll go now. Open the portal, please.
Very well, Adam. But I must warn you. I sense you are heading into danger.
If my sister needs me, there's no time to lose. Goodbye, Sorceress.
Hmm.
sorceress said this place might be dangerous. She wasn't joking.
Adam, welcome back to Etheria, my brother. You came at a good time.
She-Ra? What's going on?
War, Adam. I'll explain later. Excuse me. Sword to shield! Everyone all right?
Thanks to you, She-Ra.
Oh, great! Horn troopers!
I'll have to become He-Man.
All right, up next today is episode 29, The Price of Freedom. Wednesday, October 16th, 1985, written by Bob Forward. The sorceress sends Adam to Etheria as He-Man is needed to aid She-Ra in defending the villagers of Drill, who are forced to work the Etherium mines for the evil horde. We have Hordak and Mantenna, we have She-Ra, Bo, Swiftwind, He-Man, and Orko, and a few villagers. So what did you think about the next crossover in the series?
Another crossover, yay, I thought it was going to be good. This is the worst crossover we've had to this point.
I don't know about that.
It is. Just wait. I really can't say too much because it's going to essentially be me going through all of my Fright Zone moments. I do like how in the plot that Adam goes to Grayskull, that we see Grayskull. First of all, we open and close on Eternia. I thought that was kind of cool, especially for this being the She-Ra show and them wanting to, you know, do the girls show and move on and show us, you know, Etheria instead of Eternia. But I do like that they started and ended on Eternia. I like that Orko isn't just relegated to the PSA.
Right.
He's only in the beginning and the end. I really wanted to see Orko and Madame Raz have a conversation. I thought that would have been really, really friggin' cool. But yeah, everything else, I gotta wait. What about you?
Right. I mean, I like the idea that the sorceress is keeping kind of monitoring what's going on in Etheria and Eternia, and she knows when there's trouble, and she knows when to summon He-Man. So I guess I like that connection, and I like that it's not necessarily She-Ra or somebody like necessarily. I mean, I know she kind of calls out or whatever, but it's like they're not going out of their way to get somebody over there. So I like that it's kind of He-Man and the sorceress taking the initiative of coming over there, and I like that she is in trouble and needs him in a way. I think it comes down to execution for the most part, but I don't have a problem with the setup. I mean, there's not a lot to it. It's not like there's like this big, it would have been better if they would have set it up with some type of beginning scene where we kind of leave off on the cliffhanger and she's really in trouble instead of just the sorceress saying she's in trouble and, you know, it's kind of a battle going on, but it's not like a specific danger looming. So I think it could have been done a little bit better, but I don't have a problem with the overall plot setup, I guess. So I know you got a lot of things to say as far as your actual Fright Zone moments, so let's just get right to the chase and get on over there.
By the power of Grayskull!
But you cannot fight so many horde troopers alone.
She won't be alone. Your concern is appreciated, sir, but this is our job. Leave while you still can. My sister and I will handle these tin cans.
I wish I were as confident as you.
I wish I were as confident as I sound. Boy, there sure are a lot of them. I wish there was another way.
Right. We don't want to hurt anyone.
That water tower.
Good idea, brother. And not a moment too soon.
All right, let's start with the Whispering Woods, even though doesn't sound like you have a lot, but
no.
What few items do you have in the Whispering Woods?
Wowzers, sending Adam right into the thick of the battle. Now, you just mentioned this. It's not one specific thing, but it's the way that the sorceress explains it to him is essentially a war is going on. And this is what I imagine Etheria to be anytime we're not seeing it, honestly. Like, I don't buy every time we open up one of these Shira episodes and they're just in the Whispering Woods or Hordak is just sitting on his throne. I want to believe that there is an active ongoing war going on for this planet. I don't believe that they're just sitting on their asses in between the time we see them and the time that we don't see them. So sending Adam just right into the thick of it, and I just absolutely love that. I thought that was great because he needs to think on his feet and all that. And of course, yay, Orko! That's the crux of my Whispering Woods moments,
okay.
People.
For me, I like the fact that we get another crossover episode, of course. We went from burning books now to burning villages. I don't know. I thought there was a really cool shot inside Hordak's ship, kind of from his angle, then looking through the cockpit and out, which I kind of enjoyed. I thought there were some great team-up moments with He-Man and She-Ra, and then I also thought that it was cool to see He-Man alone in Etheria, which we don't get to see much. So I kind of enjoyed seeing him kind of off on his own. And
Battle Cat, but whatever.
What's that?
Would have been better if he had Battle Cat with him, but
well,
whatever.
Of course, but I do still like to see that he was kind of on his own there for a little while. Yeah. And I thought there was a pretty clever tie-in with the freedom thing as far as, you know, the villagers are fighting for their freedom, and then you get the tie back to Orko at the end where he's like, how hard is it to get some, you know, peace and quiet or some freedom or whatever, and it is kind of made for a cool moment. So That's what I like there. I'll go real quick for my Fright Zone moments because I only have one, and then you can take over. And I just thought it was a weird-looking big robot that the Horde had employed there in that flashback scene. So that was kind of off-putting. Why wouldn't they have just used, like, a Horde trooper or something? I don't know. But and it didn't look like Hordak, which is weird. Most stuff looks like Hordak. But all right. That
other weird thing from whatever episode it was.
Dilemug.
Didn't look like
Hordak. The stage is yours, sir.
Okay, here we go. Now, to preface this, people, I love the crossovers. As I've said, I love it when we see the two of them together, brother and sister, fighting Hordak and Skeletor and whatever else and all this stuff. But this is by far the worst crossover out of them that we've seen to this point. My sister and I, are you fucking kidding me? Only the Great Rebellion, the people in the Great Rebellion, like Bo and Glimmer and Madame Wrath, only those people are supposed to know that they're the whole episode they kept referring to their brother and sister relationship. And don't get me wrong, these new villagers, these new rebellion members, whatever, fine. But the two of them say this shit throughout the whole fucking episode. And it's like, if Catra's just walking by, she could just find out that they're brother and sister.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, get the... Okay. And it's the writing. That's the problem here. The writing. Bob Forward wrote this. How the hell did Bob Forward write this? Because damn, it might be his worst written cartoon he's ever done. I mean, seriously, He-Man acts as if he doesn't even know anything of the Horde's villainy. He just destroyed them when he... In the crossover, the way He-Man is written in this is just the shittiest, laziest He-Man writing I have ever seen when it comes to the character of He-Man. It's like he knows nothing. It's like he went through a memory eraser or something. I don't know. Sword to staff count, whatever the hell number. She didn't even twirl the damn staff. She just stood there and the bugs ran into the fucking thing. Are you kidding me? Okay. Now, the biggest one, and I'm probably going to get 10 times louder than I already have. Wait, 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 wait. They dig through the other side of the mountain and end up in the Whispering Woods? How? When She-Ra flew back to the Whispering Woods, she said it was a long journey between the mine and the Whispering Woods. So how the fuck do they come out? I mean, is this like the biggest mountain on the fucking planet that it goes from one area to the other? Like, seriously, how the fuck do they end up at the Whispering Woods after coming out of the mountain? There's no transition scene saying, oh yeah, we get out of the mountain and now we're going to go back to the West. There's nothing there. And this is the reason why I brought up Don Heckman earlier. It's because Don Heckman's
Bo's Farewell is a better written episode than Bob Forward's The Price of Freedom. Don't get me wrong, I like the whole message of the freedom and, you know, wanting to be free and all that stuff, but Jesus Christ, this episode is so poorly written. Oh, God.
Ugh. Okay, then. I have a feeling we're going to differ on this episode a little bit.
You think?
I'm going to have to go back and look at every single crossover episode, I guess, and rank them, because I can't say that it's the worst or the best or anywhere in the middle.
I'm not saying it's the worst of the... Well, I'm saying it's the worst crossover.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I'd have to look back at what I've ranked.
I'm also saying that this is the worst thing I think I've ever seen written by Bob Forward out of anything he's ever done.
All right.
It's just so...
I did not have the reaction to this one as you did. I had one weird-looking big robot as my fright zone. The PSA was about fire being dangerous. Of course, that's a good message to get to the kids. I guess we can shoehorn it in with this episode. But I'm interested to get to our ratings and have a little bit further discussion. So let's take a break, come back with our Horde Bats protection swords, and then we can start arguing.
Oh, God, here we go.
Your people are free at last.
That's right. Looks like you saved the day without us, She-Ra.
Well, I did have a little help. Of course, it was all in the family.
Isn't there anything for us to do?
Why don't you take our new friends to the camp and help them get settled?
With pleasure. Come along, folks.
Now that this business is over, I think it's time for me to leave.
I was afraid of that. Well, please give Mother and Father my love. I look for the day we'll all be together.
That day will come, She-Ra. Someday all of our worlds will live in peace, and there will be no reason to fight or to fear what tomorrow may bring.
I pray it will be soon.
Oh, hello, Arco. Yeah, I'm back, so if your room's clean, we can go for that spin now.
I can't, Adam. Now Man-at-Arms says I have to clean up this paint I spilled. Oh, boy. What's a guy got to do to get a little freedom these days?
Well, Arco, you know, sometimes freedom is pretty hard work. But then again, it's worth it. Yes, Arco, it certainly is worth it.
All right, it's time for Horde Bats and Protection Swords. I will let you go first. What do you have for a Horde Bat?
Bob Forward. Just, oh, God, Horde Bat for Bob Forward. And no, and I'll give one Protection Sword out for the whole team-up thing, because they did work well, He-Man and She-Ra each, because they did work well together. But, oh, my God, I just want to shoot Bob Forward between the eyes. Oh, my God, how did he write this?
All right.
What about you?
I don't have any Horde Bats, so nobody really pissed me off in this episode. How about Protection Swords for you?
One each to He-Man and She-Ra for them working well together, even though the execution of the story was horrible.
All right. I have one for He-Man as well. I liked what he did there and how he was able to kind of come in and protect his sister and save the day. So that is what I have for that. And let's hear it. What do you have for your Crystal Castle rating?
It's only because it's He-Man and we see him working with She-Ra and their teamwork is excellent, but 1 out of 5.
One out of five.
This episode just pissed me off so much.
I just don't understand why. I don't get it.
Writing. What do you mean you don't understand why?
I don't understand what there was that was angering. I don't.
We both always complain about them moving fire or water. How can you not see what is so wrong and so just stupid, neglectful writing of not even explaining how to fuck the mountain? The other side of the mountain ends up being backed up to the Whispering Woods when they already said in the episode that it would take She-Ra a long time to fly from the mine to the Whispering Woods. And then all of a sudden, when they're digging it out, the Whispering Woods are just apparently on the other fucking side of the thing. How do you not see what's so wrong with that? That's just lazy ass writing.
Alrighty then. I guess I just wasn't hung up on it, I guess. I didn't just notice it as much and it didn't stand out. So I just kind of kept watching the episode and enjoying the other things. I don't know. Maybe I was not paying enough attention. I don't know. I'm going to blame that. So I gave this one a 4 out of 5. So,
whoa.
I enjoyed the crossover. I enjoyed the Orko bits. I enjoyed He-Man, the way he kind of was summoned there by the sorceress. And I like that he was on his own on Etheria and kind of saving the day and doing everything he could to protect his sister. So I enjoyed that. So maybe I need to rewatch this one, but 4 out of 5 for me. All right. We definitely disagreed on that one. Let's see if we continue to disagree or if we come into more of an alignment as we make our way to the last episode for today, episode 30, Milestone. Let's see how it goes. All right, last up today is episode 30, Play It Again, Bo, our second Bo title of the day. Air date Thursday, October 17, 1985, written by Harvey Brenner. Frit, an old acquaintance of Madame Raz, has been collecting bottles to build a giant monument to freedom. Again, freedom, second mention of the day as well. When the Horde steals his old horse, True Blue, and attempt to destroy his monument, the rebellion comes to his rescue. So we have some Horde troopers and Catra, of course. We have She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Madame Raz, the Twiggit, Cowl, Spirit, Broom, everybody. So what did you think about this long-lost acquaintance of Madame Raz?
I love this. I thought this was great because we actually get some background and some story on Madame Raz, finally. I thought this was wonderfully done. And once again, as I have this whole podcast, I have to bring up the writer, Harvey Brenner. How is it that Harvey Brenner and Don Heckman, two writers that I have actually had to look up, that I don't recognize their names on anything, how is it that they can write two really good episodes, one each, for them, and we get Bob Forward's shittiest episode ever? I just can't
imagine. That I gave a 4 out of 5 to, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. For Heckman, he wrote Jacob and the Widgets.
For Brenner?
For Brenner. He wrote Jacob and the Widgets and the Great Books Mystery. He did story/teleplay on an episode of Cagney and Lacey. He had this one episode for She-Ra, and he did the Vigilantes for Brave Star in 87.
All right.
But I love this. I thought this was great because how often do we get a Madame Raz/Broom/backstory kind of episode? I mean, you know, we talked about we want to see more character development and stuff from either side, the Rebellion or the Horde, and here we go. We're getting a backstory from Madame Raz.
Okay.
What?
I agree. I like the idea. I like the setup of an old acquaintance of Madame Raz and that we're going to see what kind of relationship they had or how they know each other, how's it going to play out. So I completely support the premise of having a story about Madame Raz and her past. So I have no problem with the premise of this episode. And that is all I will say about that. So let's take a break and make our way for the last time today to Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone to see if we agree or disagree on this one. I have a feeling it's going to go one way.
Let me take you to my friends. Maybe we can find a way to get your animal back.
That would be wonderful. And the good king's army, with help from all the people, drove the invaders from the land.
That was wonderful. Tell us another story, Fritz.
Why don't we ask Bo to sing us a song?
Yeah!
Come on, Bo, please!
I'd be grateful, Bo, if you'd sing Just We Two. That is, if you know it.
Oh, I know it, but why that song?
It brings back someone I knew long ago. We were young. We were in love. And that was our song.
Say no more. I shall sing it for you with pleasure.
Razzle dazzles all I see whenever it is you with me. Everything's in harmony. Harmony. Just we two, me and you.
He seems like such a nice man.
Oh, he is. I've seen Fred Town. He does more than just collect old bows. The children just flock around him, and then he tells them stories. Stories of the time before the Horde conquered Etheria. He's a brave man. He's helped keep freedom alive.
Play that song.
Oh, it's quite easy, Madam Raz. My fingers go here, like this.
That song must never be played in my presence.
Why not, Madam Raz?
Because that's the... Oh, Fritz, is that really you?
Hello, Raz. It's been a long time, but you're still as pretty as a rainbow.
Oh, and you still know how to sweet talk a girl.
I asked Bo to sing our song.
That was our song. That's over. The song ended when you went away.
As I recall, my sweet, it was you who went away.
Oh, don't you my sweet me. It's over, I tell you. Finished. Done.
She's pretty as ever.
What was all that about?
Oh, laugh.
Yuck. All right, it's time for the Whispering Woods for episode 30. I'll go first this time. Bo was somewhat funny when asked how he played that song, and he's like, "Well, this is how you do it. You take your hand and you go." I thought that was somewhat funny. Again, I enjoy the Frit and Madam Raz storyline. I think that's a cool angle to kind of see that she did have a past, a companion of sorts, and the fact that we're not necessarily 100% sure about that until she comes along and obviously recognizes him. Also think there's a ton of fun for Broom and Madam Raz in this episode. His arms and the way she's like trying to make him stop. The dialogue between those two is really good.
It's always really good between Madam Raz and Broom.
Yeah. I like the fact that we have Swiftwind or Spirit, whichever one you want to call him, taking out Horde Troopers.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome. Like,
he's taking action. We usually don't see that. And another, I forget which Twiggit said it, but I don't know what's worse, being tied up or listening to that mush.
I think it's Spunky.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of...
Spunky wasn't in this, it was Sprocker.
He had like two lines very similar to that, and I thought they were both really, really kind of cool. So definitely enjoyed that. What about you? What did you like best out of this episode?
You already mentioned being tied up or listening to that mush. I like the deep stuff between Raz and Frit. I thought that was really cool. Spirit, it's like you've read my notes. Spirit in action. I do question as to not Spirit's actions, but his location in the episode, but we'll talk about that later. And my first note here was already, this is more awesome than the other two episodes. We get a stranger in Frit, and then you come to find out as the plot takes the story to give background for Madame Raz. I thought that was absolutely amazing, and I don't think we'll see Frit again. I don't know, but I don't think we will, but I kind of almost wish we would, because it's just so refreshing to see some of the other, like, you know, we've talked about this. These series end up sticking with the same characters over and over and over again. And I don't even remember the last Madame Raz episode we've had in the last two or three podcasts. I don't remember, like, where she's been predominantly needed or focused on, not necessarily a backstory for her, but just having her in an episode with Broom and all that. So absolutely love this.
All right. What else? Anything?
Nope. That's it.
All right. How about Fright Zone moments? Anything you didn't like?
How would Bo would be featured in the reject pile of American Idol auditions? Oh my god,
that was terrible.
He can play music. He can actually play instruments and have good melodies. He can't sing for shit.
Yeah, don't let him sing. That's awful.
No, what's the purpose? Okay, so again, one of the things, maybe I missed it. I don't know. I know the plot of the episode is that they have to save the monument, and they also have to save Frit's horse, True Blue, which if Frit was a giant and the horse was an ox, I'm thinking, hey, it's Paul Bunyan and Babe. But anyway, yeah. I understand his horse wasn't around, but they didn't really write in or explain how that they were going to use Spirit, because I've never seen Spirit used this way, where he's pulling the cart. Did I miss something here? Did they actually show him being... Did Adora say anything that they could use it? Like, I mean, it's a little nitpick. I'm not pissed about it at all. I'm just saying it's a little strange. And I'm like, because I'm watching the whole time, I'm like, wait, that's Spirit pulling the cart. What's going on here? And then he's running back, and then he does his awesome, you know, rearing up. And did he headbutt the horde thing? Or
he knocked it with his feet on the one.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. No. The sword cuts on its own. Come on. No. She throws it in the ground. She says, sword cut. And it moves on its own. The sword is not the Knight Industries 2000, people. Come on. Oh, God.
I'm gonna stay silent on that one.
Why?
my Fright Zone moments. I will read them as I have them written. Bo singing, ... ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sword to lariat.
But we've seen that
before. I just had to write it down. Yeah. Sword cut ? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That was the worst. I will give you every sword to lariat, sword to shield, sword to the rope, sword to bolus, whatever you want to turn that damn sword into. It does not move on its own. And it definitely does not move on its own to cut out the earth.
Yeah.
Or the land. I guess you wouldn't call it Earth, the Etheria.
Yeah. So let me ask you something here really quickly before you continue. I've watched the thing when she says sword to lariat and sword to rope. It's the same animation model. What the fuck is the difference?
Right. It's more so how you're using it, I guess. But it's bad enough. Even if she was doing it herself, if she is physically cutting the earth, I would have still had a problem with it, because I can't stand when they do this. There's no way you're cutting the earth. You're not that powerful, and you don't. The earth wouldn't just pick up like that. There'd be roots and stuff sticking to the ground, and then you wouldn't then be able to push it down into the hole that it was in, because it would. There isn't really a hole. I don't know. It just doesn't work like that. So I would have a problem even if she's doing it herself, but the fact that it's the sword doing it on its own is worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then my only other one that I really had a problem with. So I love the Madame Raz and Frit storyline. I love the backstory there that we're getting on it. It's what we ask for a lot of times with backstory from these characters and something from their past. But she even comments that she's going to try to help. First of all, that monument was retarded. Okay, it should have looked cooler. It should have been some type of cooler symbol. Even after she turns it into the crystal, it still kind of looks lame. But She's like, I got to make up for all those lost years that we've had. So that says to me that you've now regretted the fact that you've missed out on all these years that you guys were stubbornly staying apart and that you mm-hmm. both care for each other. And then at the end of the episode, they leave each other again. So missing all those years and now you're still not going to be together after this?
Yeah.
Like, what is that showing to anybody? Like, you're going to just leave him there and go about your way and we're never going to see this guy again, but you somehow are regretful for the years that you lost with him?
Yeah.
Like, that made no sense. So that made no sense. There should have been something that was keeping him there. He had to guard something, or he had to do something, or she was going to stay there, and then we could just imagine that she was transporting herself to and from whenever we saw her, or bring him into the bunch and have him shown a couple times. I don't know, but to have
something.
Yeah, something. So I really hated that. So a couple things with the sword cutting and them not being together at the end that kind of pissed me off a little bit. But the PSA was about diversity and the fact that he was collecting bottles for every different person and we're supposed to embrace differences and all the different people and genders and races and all that kind of stuff and something about that. So what did you think about the PSA?
It's a 80s PSA. I mean...
True that.
Kind of reminds me of something out of Mask, but okay. Actually, two of them today reminded me. I'm like, hey, where's Scott and T-Bob when you really need them? The fire one, and then this one's like, wow, really?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that means time to take our final break, and we'll come back to hand out our last pieces of hardware and see if we're more in line with our ratings on this one than we were on the last one.
I remember now. You wanted me to run away with you, but I knew that I couldn't rest until the Horde was driven from Etheria.
You made me ashamed of myself. I didn't feel worthy of you.
Is that why you stayed away?
Yes. I had to prove to myself that I could do something worthy. And that's why I built this.
Brrr, now the fun begins. Fritz, whatever happens, I want you to forgive me.
Well, I'm the one who got us into this mess.
No! I should have taken you with me when I joined the Rebels. Besides, this mess isn't so bad.
How can you say that?
Well, we're together, aren't we?
You bet we are, Razzie.
I don't know what's worse, being tied up or listening to that mush.
All right, last chance today to empty your cupboards of hardware, Mike. What do you got? Horde batch or protection swords?
Two horde bats and two protection swords.
As I could predict.
Yeah, horde bat, both She-Ra and to the sword itself, one each for horde bats. Oh, God. The fact that she even said sword cut and... Oh, God. Anyway. Protection swords, Frit and Raz.
All right. Fair enough. I will differ on you a little bit on that then. I will give a horde bat to Madame Raz, actually, for not.
Why?
Because she didn't stay with her lover.
Okay.
So if you love him, stay with him. And then protection sword to Spirit. Yeah. Kicking the horde trooper's ass, taking action, and doing more than I've seen you do in most episodes up to this point. So outside of talking. So, all right. Crystal Castle rating for this one, sir.
3.5.
I thought you might be higher on this one.
I was, and then you kind of talked me down to it.
that's interesting, because I was
going to go 4, but the whole thing of, you know, your argument of them not spending, you know, all these years together, and just, yeah, 3.5.
See, that's interesting. Your original rating on this one was a 4. My original rating on this one was a 1. you went down to a 3.5. I went up to a 2.5. I actually went up a little bit as I was remembering that I did like the backstory. I did like how Spirit was acting, and there were some good moments to it, and the Madame Raz and Broom stuff. So I didn't hate it. I just wish there was no sword cutting, and I wish they would have explained why they were going to be separated again. So 2.5 for me, 3.5 for you. So I think that does it for this week. We're going to have to take a break then and come back and sum up our thoughts and see where we go from here.
I'm Colin Baker.
My name's Fraser Hines.
Hi, I'm Daphne Ashbrick.
This is Andrew Cartmell.
Hi, this is Colin Spall.
Hello, I'm Simon Fisher-Becker.
This is Ian McNeice.
Hi, this is Travis Ritchie.
You listen to this, Mark. 4 2
Listen to Mark Who 42's Universe.
If your
are into Doctor Who, listen to Marku 42's Universe. We always have the latest Doctor Who news, reviews, and interviews. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Geekcast Radio Network, and our home base, Marku42.net.
Marku 42, the meaning of life.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, we're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall, 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the Feeny call.
All right, we are back here on episode 56 of Myths of Etheria. Any thoughts so far?
I mean, outside of a little backstory with Madam Raz... I don't know. I mean, I did like the Price of Freedom episode and the crossover a lot more than you, obviously. But outside of that, man, it was... I need more Horde. I need more Hordak.
Yeah, there wasn't a Horde in this. There wasn't a lot of Hordak in this either.
No, there was a lot of Horde troopers and some Catra. But I need to see some of these other people. I need to see some of the more bad characters. Give me some more of Mantenna. Give me some more of Tongue Lashor, of Leech, of any of these people. Grizzlor, does he exist? Is he there? Has he been banished forever? I don't know. So I don't think I've seen him in like 15, 20 episodes, it seems like. So I would like to see some more actual Horde versus Rebellion and a little less of the side stories and the villages and this, that, and the other. So I don't know. I was not excited overall today.
I just want to go back here just for a little bit. Bob Forwood wrote She-Ra Unchained, which is part of the Secret of the Sword thing. Mm-hmm. He wrote He Ain't Heavy. He wrote Horde Prime Takes a Holiday. He wrote Price of Freedom. And then we have, after that, we have a number of upcoming episodes written by him. So I'm hoping, we actually have a two-parter that's coming up later in the series that is written by him. I really, really hope Bob Forward gets better on this show. Like, I know this show was kind of looking through his filmography here on IMDb, this and, you know, Ghostbusters was kind of his breakout, like his beginnings. But I've seen other stuff written by Bob Forward since this, and he can do so much better than what he did on The Price of Freedom. I mean, hell. I guarantee you all five episodes he wrote of Cops is better than The Price of Freedom.
Yeah. I could see that.
There's not much else I can say as far as... I mean, we're still so young into this series. We really are. We haven't really even cracked. Like you said, we want to see all these other characters. I think... When was the last time I saw Grizzlor? It was probably a Catra episode where they tried to team them up like what they used to do with Evelyn and Beastman, but it didn't really... But yeah, I'd like to see a Grizzlor-centric episode where, was it this last episode, or was it... What was the episode with the Horde ship? That Hordak was in the ship? Was it
The Price of Freedom? Yeah, Price of Freedom.
Okay, so the one good thing that came out of that was the twist on how he dealt with Mantenna. Instead of throwing him in the dungeon, he shoots him out of the ship.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was all right. But yeah, I mean, we need to see, like, what's the point of introducing all these characters and showing them to us every now and then if we don't really? It's the same complaint we had for 4 years on He-Man. It's like, you introduce us to Triclops, you introduce us to Web Story, you introduce us to all these other not utilized enough characters, and it's happening again here in She-Ra. They give one or two things here, and they always rely on Catra. I think I can count on both hands how many times I've seen Scorpia.
You can count on a couple of fingers for Grizzlor.
And see, that was the thing. Like, Grizzlor, when we started in Secret of the Sword, he was running the prison. He was, you know... what they did in She-Ra, and I know this is way, way before what I'm going to reference here, but it's like they started with the Avengers, and then the villains just all branched off, and we don't even know where half of them are. Because, you know, seriously, you take the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you build everything up from Iron Man to Incredible Hulk or whatever the last one was before Avengers, and everybody has, you know, the big team up in Avengers, and then the break off of what's, all that. But it's the same thing here. It's like, we got introduced to some of these really, really cool villains like Leech. I mean, I know Leech is kind of sucky, no pun intended, but like, something. Show us something. Give us more with the villains. And the heroes, too. I mean, sure, we've seen Castispella a few times. We've seen Frosta exactly once, and she was only making snow for a Twiget. Don't get me wrong. I thought that was a hilarious scene in that episode, but... come on, yep. We need more.
I'm with you on that.
We're 30 episodes into this out of 93. So they have 63, there's 63 episodes to impress us with these characters. And so far,
we're reaching the third way mark, and man. All right.
Thank you for listening to the Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. There are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please tell us what you're leaving the message for and your name. There is a 5-minute time limit. Follow us on Twitter, at geekcastradio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull, which is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will take a look at the next episodes, those being The Reluctant Wizard. Oh no. Friends Are Where You Find Them, and A Talent for Trouble. So, an Orko episode. Yay. Not really, but still. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.